I'm not going to do like you did that. I wasn't here. I wasn't here that time, but I heard about it. Everybody was like, you should have seen. You should have seen Calvin at church today. If you weren't here like me, what happened was, is from what I understand, while Calvin was preaching, he had a bottle of water and decided to do like SeaWorld and make sure everybody was paying attention, and then he fell in it, slipped in the water. Hallelujah. Well, I am just gracefully. That's what I heard. Right. Amen. Well, who here is happy? I don't know. Just God, the Spirit's just, it's good. It's good. It's just been good all day. I've been happy since we were in morning prayer this morning. Just the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. I will not be denied. I will not be denied. That is just getting up. Ooh, that's getting all up in me, on me, around me. You guys, we got to catch this because we will not be denied. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your word that does not return void, but it goes out and accomplishes its purpose. I thank you, Lord, that you are fulfilling your purpose in us. And I just declare right now that every single one of us, that we would be good ground, fertile ground, ready to receive and ready just to give to you, to give of ourselves, Lord. And Lord, we just welcome your presence. We welcome your spirit. Let us receive new revelation from you today. And we declare we will not be denied. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. You are so, so, so good. Hallelujah. Well, who here believes the word of the Lord? Three people. Who here believes the word of the Lord? We believe? Yes. If God says it, we got to take it. Yes, we got to take God at his word. Hallelujah. If you were here on Wednesday night, we had a little bit of a mix-up in communication. It was kind of funny. The person that was scheduled to preach forgot they were supposed to preach, and at the last second, when they got called up, we're like, you know, that deer in the headlights type look, and I know that it was God. It was God how it worked out, because we had... somebody had come that had needed prayer, and I just didn't feel released from it when we were done. And I just get that, like, if you've ever had God tell you to do something or you feel like you should do something, and then all of a sudden your heart is like, it's going to just pop out of your chest, or you're going to throw up or something if you don't obey. And, like, you know, and as soon as that happened, it was like, this is it. And so we travailed and we prayed for this person, and she received just prophetic words and things that were spoken over her and her life. And she, what she had needed prayed for, she already was seeing improvements by the time that she left that night. She was having issues with her vision, and she said that when we were done praying, as she was getting ready to leave, she said that it was brighter, so much brighter than when she had first come. And so we just know that we will not be denied, and she will receive the rest of her healing. And it was just God. God is good. He really, really, really is. And when you listen to him and you obey him, it's going to be good. No matter what he's telling you to do, as strange as it sounds or whatever it would be, it's going to be good, because God is good. He is. That is him. He is the definition of good. That's God. And on Wednesday, during the day, I had needed to go home. I was working, and I had to go run something to my house really quick. And as I was driving, I was just kind of like nonchalantly, just maybe praying a little bit, talking to God a little bit. And I heard so clearly, laziness is a dream killer. Laziness is a dream killer. And I wanted to talk today about success. Yeah, success. It's a good word. It's a good thing. And as I was preparing for this, I was kind of just like thinking about different things and rules for success and different things like that. And I remembered back in the way, 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 way back day, this was my 10-year high school reunion. I know some of you guys can top that, but that seems like a million years ago to me. But I remember being in school and in science class, and you learn about, you know, all the laws of physics and all that stuff. I was going to say junk, but And I was remembering about Newton's law, Newton's third law. Those of you guys that are in school, maybe you remember it. But Newton's third law says that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. We've all heard this, right? At some point in our lives. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. That is a biblical principle. You know, it's they're like, oh, that's science. No, that's God. That's God. It's a biblical principle. In Luke 3:38 says, give and you shall receive. Give and you shall receive. That's a biblical law. If you act, there's going to be a reaction because of your action. I want to read that. I want to read the whole thing. Luke 3:38 says, give and you shall receive, and your gifts will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over, poured into your lap, and the amount that you give will determine the amount you get back. I'm going to read that again, Luke 3:38. Give and you shall receive. Your gifts will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. There is no opinion in this. I'm not telling you what I think or what I believe or what I feel you should do. This is just the simple word of God. It's the truth. Huh? 6:38. Excuse me. I was like, Luke 6:38 is where we are. But it's a simple truth. It's the word of God. And who here wants success? Who here wants to be successful? I'm not talking about just financially, but yeah, we want to be financially successful. We want to be successful in life, in our marriage, in our relationships, with our spouse, with, you know, at our job, in our spirit life. Success is not a bad thing. And a lot of times when we talk about success in church, it's like, oh, don't talk about success because that means you're being greedy or you're, you know, whatever. No. God wants us, his church, successful. He wants his babies successful in every aspect of life. And that's what I want to talk about today. And let's turn right now to 2 Corinthians 9. And this is going to be our core scripture. I'm going to go back to this several times. And I would like for you guys to keep your bookmark there as we go through the rest of this. Were you thirsty? What the heck? All right, 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 5. And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 5 says, so I thought I should send these brothers ahead of me to make sure the gift you promised is ready. But I want it to be a willing gift, not one giving grudgingly. Verse 6, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. Verse 10, for God is the one who provides the seed for the farmer and bread, and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you will always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. Okay, so leave your bookmark there. And, you know, just think about for a minute, what are you believing God for? What is your dream? What is your vision? What is the goal that you have? And I want to tell you today that we need to start sowing it into existence. Start acting on it. You know, I can sit here and complain about the stock market and sit here and cry about how, you know, I'm not some Wall Street millionaire or billionaire. But if I never made an investment into it, if I never acted on it, I better shut my mouth because I don't know what I'm talking about. You know, if I want something or complain about something and if I'm not acting on it, you know, we talk about that a lot, like even with the election. You can't complain about who won if you never voted, you know, if you never acted or did your part into it. So laziness is a dream killer. If you do nothing, you'll have nothing. It's simple. If you sow nothing, you get nothing. If you plant nothing, you can't go out and stand in your yard and be like, well, I don't know why I don't have apples and an apple tree. Like, well, you never would have planted an apple seed. Duh. Like, you can't get mad at the ground for not producing what you didn't put into it. It's the law of nature. It's the law of God. So We know all these Fortune 500 companies, and you look at these huge like things like Walmart or Starbucks or whatever, and they wouldn't have made a cent. Like if somebody, I don't know their name, or whoever, you know, I wouldn't say invented Starbucks because that'd be inventing coffee, but whoever decided to make the first Starbucks, if they just sat there and thought about it but never did anything about it, they wouldn't be a millionaire or a billionaire or a trillionaire or however much money they have. Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, all those like crazy rich people, they had a dream and they started acting on it. I mean, there was just that movie that came out about Steve Jobs, about how much, you know, basically blood, sweat, and tears he put into seeing his dream become a reality. And if they had just sat there on their couch and thought about all the great ideas they had instead of acting on them, we wouldn't have Apple computers, or we wouldn't have Microsoft and like the internet and all these things that we use so readily today. A great vision or dream will always be a great vision or dream if there's no action that gets taken upon it. So let's go back. I told you to have your bookmark there. So what is your dream, your goal, your vision? I'm going to talk a lot about action and success. 2 Corinthians 9:6, that's where we were. Verse 6, reading again, says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. If your actions are small, the results will be small. That's what that means. If your dreams are big, if your vision is big, if your goal is big, you got to start taking big action. Success is part of who we are. It is our legal right and inheritance as a child of God. It is our legal right to be successful. I mean, it's part of the promise of Abraham. If we know those promises, those are ours. Those are ours. Success, or living a blessed life. Okay, let's say that too. Instead of saying the word success, maybe that makes you uncomfortable. Let's say blessed. Who here doesn't want to live a blessed life? I want a blessed life. I want my children to live a blessed life. And there are three things that we need to know about having success or living a blessed life. Number one, it's important. Number two, it is our moral duty as a child of God. And number three, it is limitless. There is no limit to the size or amount of your success or blessing, because there's no limit to God. There's no limit to God. So let's turn our Bibles to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28:13. I believe we got it, if I've given you guys the right stuff again. All right. It says, if you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today, and if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you will always be on top and never the bottom. But what did it say? If you listen to these commands and obey them. So if you hear it and then you act on it or obey it, obedience is a verb. It's an action. If you act on what I've told you to do, says the Lord, then you will always be successful. In whatever realm I've told you to act in, if you listen to the Lord, he will bless you. He will bless you. I always think of, you know, the charge that the Lord gave to Barbara and Calvin about going on a new venture of faith. I will bless you and use you and keep you safe. Arise and go forth on a new venture of faith. I will bless you and use you and keep you safe. But what it first required action. Arise and go forth, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to use you, and I'm going to keep you safe. But you got to go forth, and I will bless you in everything that you do. It requires us to act. It's not an opinion. I mean, it said it right there in verse 6. If you plant only a few seeds, you're only going to get a small crop. If you only give a little, you're going to get a little back. The one who plants generously will get a generous crop. This is not an opinion. It's a fact and a law. Biblical law. Godly law. Rule. Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So if you are sowing nothing, you're giving nothing, you're putting in nothing, we can't sit there and expect for this huge amount to be coming back to us this, you know, entitlement complex when we're giving nothing. We have to give of ourselves. And I'm not just talking about money to the church. I'm talking about of yourself. I'm talking about giving towards the goals and the dreams that you have, giving to other people, just all around, every aspect of our life. If we're not acting on what God's told us to do, we can't be expecting to get all this stuff back. I had been listening to, through various conferences that Mitch and I and some other leaders in the church have attended, we have gotten connected with Pastors Aaron and Aaron Hankins, and I know pastors know his father, and they pastor a church in Louisiana called Christian Worship Center, or CWC, and sometimes I like to listen to their the audio recordings of their sermons, and they recently had Jesse Duplantis there, and he had given a message called All. And if you have a chance, you should listen to it. It blew my mind. I'm just the perspective that God gave him. And he shared in the sermon how one day he was just talking to God, and he said, "Lord, give me a new example about the importance of giving, or give me a new, you know, metaphor for giving and how, you know, what your belief is on giving." And he was just sitting there, and he said that he was just kind of tapping his chest, and that God said, your heart. Think about the heart constantly pumping. It's an example of giving and receiving, sowing and reaping, constantly putting out and getting in, putting out and getting in. It's a heart. And we talk about giving as a heart issue. It literally is. We give and receive, pumping, receiving, putting out, getting in. And what happens if you start holding blood in your heart, or your heart starts pumping? You die. To give, I mean, to receive, we have to give. We have to start putting out. You know, like a sponge is just going to sit there unless you squeeze it and take in, you know, then it's going to have. So the Dead Sea, we all know about the Dead Sea, you know, it's dead because it receives, but it never puts out. And because it never puts out, because the water never goes anywhere, it becomes too salty and things literally can't live in it. They die. That's why they call it the Dead Sea. It's too salty for life. And, you know, kind of just a personal observation that I've made over the years and being in different churches is that people who have giving hearts, you know, we talk about, you know, the word says that we're the salt and light of the earth, and we often refer to, like, somebody that's too religious, like, just, like, you guys know what I'm talking about. Like, they're too salty. Like, it's just too much, like, you know, a little salt is good, but what happens if you guys ever had, like, Sophia's obsessed with wanting to put salt on her stuff, and I turn around for 2 seconds, and she's like, I'm like, dude, your food's ruined, you know, it's too salty, you're not going to be able to want to eat it. And when we get too religious about stuff, you know, in the church lingo, it's like, oh, they're too salty, you know, and my own personal observation is that people who have giving hearts aren't really that religious. They just have a heart for God. People who have a heart for giving have a heart for God. And I've noticed that real religious people tend to be real stingy. You know, real religious people are real stingy. And real religious people like to talk a lot and say what everybody else should be doing, but not really take any personal action. You know, and there's that example in the Bible where Jesus said, you know, why don't you take the plank out of your own eye before you start picking at dust in somebody else's eye? It's easy to talk. Everyone talks. You know, we all talk about, I mean, I get so sick of watching the news now because it's like, well, they should do this and they should do that and blah, 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 like it, but come on. You know, everybody likes to talk, but it's easy to talk, but not everybody walks. Not everybody puts action to what they're saying. And your blessing or your success is a direct correlation to your giving. It's a direct correlation. I'm like I said, I'm not just talking about money. It's what you're putting into it, what you're putting into what you're believing for, what your goals are. You know, if I wanted to lose 100 pounds and I just sat on the couch and did nothing and then was angry because, you know, angry with God because, God, why am I not losing weight? Well, I got to get my fat butt off the couch and start doing something about it. Like, come on, you know, do something about our goals. Otherwise, they're just going to stay dreams and visions and, you know, we got to start putting in. So what am I believing God for? What is my goal or the dream that I have? And start acting on it. And a really good quote that I heard recently was that your outward success is an expression of your inward growth. Your outward success is an expression of your inward growth. Success is a direct product of your actions. Success or blessing doesn't happen to you, it happens because of you and the actions that you've taken in your life. People always say, that guy's just lucky. You know, he's just really lucky. Well, I mean, in Christianity, we're not talking about luck here. We're talking about blessing. You are blessed and highly favored. That's what the word says. And Acts 20:35 says that it is more blessed to give. Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give. You are more blessed if you give. More blessed if you give. More blessed if you act. If you want to have more success, or you want more blessing, or you want to have a blessed life, you got to take some positive action. Action produces results. The more you do, the luckier you'll be. The more blessed you'll be, because it's a law. What you sow, you'll reap. Verse 7 in 2 Corinthians 9 says that you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. So we have to decide how important... Really, Mitch? Goodness. Excuse me. So we each have to decide how important is the goal or dream or blessing to us, and then start acting in accordance to the importance. And we all have different ideas of what's important in life. Or, you know, you may not have the same dream that I have or same goal that I have. For example, my mom, it's very important to her that she has her nails painted. And she wouldn't want to go out of the house if she didn't have her nails. Like, oh my gosh, I can't, like, I don't have my nails painted, I can't go anywhere. I remember her growing up, like, we would have, like, you know, a super long day, busy day, hard day, whatever it was. And, you know, if it was Sunday night and we had church the next morning, it was 1 a.m., 2 a.m., whatever time it was, she's like, I'm gonna go paint my nails before I go to bed. And she'd be sitting in her room painting her nails so she could come to church, because that was important to her. Now, me, I don't give two hoots about whether my nails are painted. Honestly, they look horrible. It's not very important to me. We have different levels of importance. So I never sewed into that. I'm like, I'm going to bed. I'll just bite them off. I don't care, you know? But if it's important enough to you, whatever your goal is or the dream or vision that God has put in your heart, if it's important enough to you, you are going to do it. You are going to make sure it gets done. It doesn't matter if it's 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to paint my nails because that is important to me. Well, speaking if I was my mom. But if it's not that important, like it wasn't important to me, I didn't do it. If it's important enough to you, you're going to do it no matter what. If not, then you won't. If you're not working towards your goals, and whether that's reconciling a relationship, getting that job, earning that degree, saving that money, growing in your ministry, whatever it would be, if you're not working towards achieving that, then it must not be that important to you. Big action produces big results. Give and you shall what? Yes, sow and you shall what? That's a biblical principle. And we read in Luke 6:38 that the amount that we give will determine the amount we get back. Oh, well, my marriage sucks, and I don't make enough money, and I'm too fat, and I don't see my kids or my grandkids enough, and my job is horrible. We have no right to complain if we are not taking any positive action to fix it. Kingdom mentality is not victim mentality. Kingdom mentality is not victim mentality. You cannot play the victim and be victorious at the same time. It doesn't work that way. We have to take ownership. People like to play the game, blame game. People like to play a blame game, and it's happened since man was created. I mean, we know that. When Adam and Eve, you know, the great fall, and Eve ate the apple and whatever, and God went and found them, and you know, they covered themselves because they were naked, and God said, "Who told you you were naked?" Well, I ate of the tree. Why'd you eat of the tree? Well, Eve made me do it. Passing the buck. And then Eve went to Eve. Well, the serpent made me do it. Passing the buck. You know, we like to blame other people. Oh, well, you know, It's my mom or dad's fault that I'm this way. It's all I've ever known. I mean, I never had what they had, so how could I have, you know, what they have now and whatever? It's not your mom and dad's fault. It's not the economy's fault. It's not your boss's fault, your husband, your wife's fault, your pastor's fault. Yeah, those things may have happened to you, but they don't define you. They don't define you or who you are, the choices you make. God defines you, and he gave you your own decision-making capabilities. You had the choice. Eve and Adam had the choice whether or not to eat the fruit or not, and they chose to. We have the choice how to act. You choose how you act and what you do. You determine your level of blessing and nobody else. And sometimes in life, the greatest adversity produces the greatest action and the greatest result. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes the greatest adversity produces the greatest action and greatest result. So don't blame your adversity. Just use it as a stepping stone to launch yourself into your greatest result. Are we okay? Is everybody all right? Okay. Crybabies and whiners, they don't do well at creating success or having a blessed life, okay? Sorry if this is stepping on anybody's toes, but, you know, it's impossible to take big actions if we don't take big responsibility. There isn't enough time. That's a lie. Make the time. Oh, that's not fair. That's a lie. Just amp up your effort. Don't be a hater. Don't be looking at what other people are doing. You worry about yourself, and you worry about your goals and achieving your dreams. Don't worry about, you know, your neighbor that, you know, has another car, and, well, look at them. They have another car, and God, why don't I have another car and whatever? Like, well, are you working towards saving for another car? You don't know what they're doing. You don't know how hard that they've worked to achieve that. And it's none of your business. You worry about you. Start making actions towards what God has told you to do. Success and blessing isn't something that happens to me or you. It's something that happens because of me and the actions that I took, because of you and the actions that you took. Abraham, we talk about the blessing of Abraham and the promises, and Abraham loved and obeyed God. He was blessed beyond belief, beyond belief. But when he tried to take a shortcut around what God said, and, you know, we know what that was the result of, we got Ishmael, and we're still dealing with that mess. We have to take responsibility. For example, this past pregnancy, where I work part-time, and the company that I work for doesn't give paid maternity leave. So anybody that's going to go on maternity leave, if you would like to have income, then you have to save for it. And I remember all of a sudden one day I was like 6 months pregnant or something like that, and I woke up and kind of like that Home Alone type deal, like, I haven't been saving for my maternity leave, and I'm 6 months pregnant. And it could have been real easy to elbow mention, why didn't you remind me that we need to start saving? Or go to my HR person, Jessica, like, Jessica, why didn't you remind me that I'm 6 months pregnant and that I should be saving for my maternity leave? It was nobody else's fault other than my own stupidity that I forgot to save for my maternity fund. So what did we do? We started cutting back big time. We started taking some major actions, doing some major saving. We did not eat out as much. I did not go shopping. I did not, and that's hard for me. I'm an online shopper. But we took some major action. And you know what? God provided what we needed and more than enough. We still have money where I stash our cash away from maternity fund. We still have money in there, and I'm back at work because God will reward you for your effort. He will reward you. Give and you shall receive. Start taking action, and God will start blessing you because of it. Good things don't happen to victims. They don't. This is the rule of victim mentality. Number one, bad things happen to them, victims. Number two, victims, number one, bad things happen to them. Number two, they tend to happen often. Bad things happen all the time. Number three, they're somehow always involved. And number four, it's always somebody else's fault. That's victim mentality, okay? Bad things happen, they happen often, they're always involved, and it's always somebody else's fault. Now, the rule of a successful person is that they assume what happens to them is because of their own actions. They take responsibility. Whether I'm successful or not, whether I live a blessed life or not, it's on me. It's on me. Going back to verse 8. Verse 8 said, "And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever." If I give, you know, sometimes we have this with this idea, like God tells us to give, and you're like, well, God, if I give that, then I'm not going to have enough for myself. Well, God, if I do that, then, you know, then I'm going to be in lack. Is God going to leave you in lack if you're obeying him? No, he will never. God will, I'm sorry if this is a little bit of a, like, racial term, but God is not an Indian giver. I remember growing up, like, in school and stuff, and I would have friends that would give you things, and then, like, you know, an hour or two later, they wanted it back. And you're like, what the heck? You gave this to me. God doesn't do that. He's not going to say, here's this blessing. Oh, shoot, the economy went bad. Never mind. Like, that's not how God works. Like, you know, he's not like on these, you know, flexible mortgage rate, you know, type deals that screwed people over. Like, oh, we're just going to raise your rate. We're going to bump you up. And God doesn't do that to us. If a promise is a promise. What movie is that? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Because a promise is a promise. And a promise that you make is a promise you don't break. No? And a promise is a promise. No, it's old. I'm sorry. That was a little rabbit trail. But that's not how he works. If you are obeying God and doing what he told you to do, he will part the waters. He will rain down manna from heaven. He will do whatever he's got to do to make sure that you are blessed, because that is what his word said. He said in his word that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. Pressed down, shaking together, running over, all those good things that we've been reading about. So if you are obeying God and doing what he's told you to do, starting to act on your vision, your goal, your dream, he is going to bless your efforts. As long as it's obeying what he told you to do. That's the kicker. If God told you to do it, it will be blessed. There are some things in life that seem good, but they're not God. I mean, there's scripture in there that says there's a way that seems good to man, but it's not always the right way. That's why it's so important that we ask God, God, show us, show me what you want me to do. Tell me what you want me to have. What vision do you have for my life? What part do I play in your grand scheme of things? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to believe for? And then start acting on that, and he will bless you. You can't go blow your paycheck on lotto tickets or go shopping at the mall and then expect God to drop like a wad of cash on your front doorstep, you know? Like, God, you said that you would provide for me, and now I don't have enough money for my bills, and I don't have enough money for food. Well, what did you do with your money? That's not what I told you to do. I didn't go tell you to, you know, spend $500 on lottery tickets or whatever. Like, if we are obeying God, we will be blessed. It's his rule. It is his rule. I remember growing up, we lived on 14th Street, Kitty Corner, or house over from where my mom currently lives now, and there was like a huge family that lived next door to us, and it was the grandparents that lived there, and they had like a million kids, and their kids had a million kids, and it was like one of those huge families that you don't even know whose kids are who, and everybody's just coming and going, and you're like, I don't even know. We would have kids over, they would come over to our house, and they were always hungry. They were always like, you know, they were always hungry. I mean, I can imagine, like, that grandma can't feed, you know, 30 kids at a time or whatever. And they would come over and, you know, they would come, and we had a side door and we had a little curtain. And they would come and they would knock on the door. And Sonia and I would stand behind the door and, like, glance through the curtain. Shh, shh, get out of here. It's them again. And my mom would be like, let him in. Mom, oh my gosh, now they know we're here. Now we can't hide, you know. And we would let them in. And my mom always had such a good heart for him. Sonia and I were a little bit more impatient with them. And she would like, you know, just let them come in, give them something to eat. That's all they want. And then, you know, they'll go. And they would come in and they would eat. You know, my mom was a single mom and we lived off of a fixed income. And, you know, there were those times in the month where we didn't have very much. And they would come in and they would eat our last slice of cheese or our last apple or eat the last of our cereal or drink the last of our milk. And we would get so mad. We would get so mad, and my mom would be like, just let them. It's food. It's just food. We will always have more. We will always get more. You don't have to fight over food. And you know what? We always got more. We always had more. I don't remember my sister and I ever going to bed hungry because we had no food. I mean, we would have boxes of food that would get left on our doorstep. And if that was ever you, thank you for being obedient. I mean, sometimes we didn't know. I'm like, oh, sweet. You know, like whether it was, we didn't care if it was extra food bank food or where it came from, whatever it was, God always provided. Action produces blessing. If you are being obedient, you will have enough. If you're doing what God said to do, he will bless you. That is his rule. Hallelujah. Let's go back to verse 10. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Now, I want to read this verse in the New King James Version. I didn't tell him to put it up here. But New King James says, Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed that you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. God said that he will provide seed to the sower, not seed to the holder. You guys catch that? God said he will provide seed to the sower, not seed to the holder. What did we talk about with the heart? Give and receive, give and receive. If the heart holds blood, it dies. If you want more seed, more finances, more resources, more, you know, better relations, whatever, you got to give. He will provide seed to the sower. This is the word. It's not my opinion. If you don't like what I'm saying, you can take it up with God because I'm just reading his word. But this is it. If he is saying give, move, start doing something, he will provide and increase your resources. Why? So you can give more. That's why. He wants you to be on the increase so you can increase other people's lives, and then it's just going to be, you know, the cycle, sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping. An awesome example is Eric and Denise. I know they're up doing kids class, but in like 4 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that, they are going on a trip to Prague for a conference with, you know, some awesome ministry leaders and people that we know and share our same heart, and they're going to go to Prague. That is awesome. A little bit jealous that they're going to Prague. But you know what? God put it on their heart that they were supposed to go. And if any of you guys have ever flown overseas, I haven't yet. I will. But if you have taken a major trip like that, you know it costs major bucks. So it's like, well, God, you know, you've told us that you want us to go to this conference. It's not like, let's go to Prague. Like God told him, you know, I need you guys to go because there are things there that you need to receive from me. And they got this idea, Denise had it, I think first. They're not up here, or they're not down here to clarify, but I believe Denise had the Lord speak to her about it first that they were supposed to make pies. Random, you know, like make pies, what, you know? And she told Eric, and at first Eric was kind of the same way, like okay, sure thing, you know, babe. Put that one aside. And then he had it confirmed to him, so you know, they both had it confirmed that God wanted them to make pies, which is kind of a random thing for God to ask. And they started doing it. They started acting on it. They started selling pies. And if now they, you know, pie's the limit, there's a poster for it back there. They're amazing pies, if you would like one. I'm making a commercial so you can give me pie later. But they're really good. And they started acting on it. They started doing it. They have a Facebook page and they started, you know, producing pies, and the word got out there. And it just caught like wildfire. Pies. Freaking pies. I mean, God told them to make pies, and they did. And they were blessed. And now they have enough. They already raised the money that they need to go, and more. And I asked Eric, because he's like, yeah, we, and this was like 3 or 4 weeks ago that I asked him, and he was like, yeah, we got the money like a month or so ago. My, oh my gosh. So like all the extra money you guys do, you guys would go shopping or what? Because that's my mind, like Prague, I think of like Prada and like all the stores, like, oh my gosh, you guys go shopping. He's like, well, you know, God really put in our hearts that we need to sow into some people's lives and we want to give to some ministries. And I was just like, you know, where are my priorities, you know? But that's why God blesses us, so we can be a blessing to others. We have to stop that mentality that I'm going to have more so that I can spend more and have more for me. God wants you to have more so that you can bless people. There's nothing wrong with having a nice purse or a nice car or whatever it would be. God wants you to have nice things. I mean, look at Solomon, David, Abraham. You know, it's not bad to have nice things, but when they have you, when the nice things have you, that's the problem. The goal for you to be blessed is that so you can bless others, and because of that, God's going to keep blessing you so that you have enough so you can buy yourself something nice and still be giving and still be sowing into other people's lives. So, you know, I'm sure God is going to bless them with enough not to only sow into those ministries that they plan to, but so that they can go shopping too and go have nice, you know, dinner or whatever they want to do, because that's how God works. If you obey and take action, you will succeed and be blessed, because that is God's law. That's his law. God isn't an Indian giver. He's not going to say never mind or take, you know, oops, you know, that was, we know those, I have people, you know, I know some people like that in my life where, like, you know, they say one thing one day and then the next day it's a different story. That's not how God works. Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Irrevocable. The gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. God cannot lie or take back what he said. I will not be denied, because if my God said it, then I have to have it. If he says it, and we all said at the beginning of this sermon that we believe God's word, we take him at his word. Success or living a blessed life is an ethical issue. It should be against your moral code to live anything less than a blessed life, because it's our duty as children of God to be blessed. If you stop caring about your goal or dream or blessing or whatever it would be, your vision, then you stop winning. Proverbs 13:12 says that a hope deferred makes the heart sick. Nobody benefits from you quitting. Nobody. Your goal, your dream, whatever it is that God has put in your heart to do, nobody benefits from you quitting. The only one who likes it is the devil. Action is needed to grow, and action is needed for success, and success is needed to help push forward. It creates momentum. Without continued growth, we die. Without that pumping and receiving and giving and receiving and giving, you know, sowing and reaping, we die. Blessing or luck is a product of action. Lucky people don't make successful people. Active people get lucky or blessed because it's their right. Lucky people don't make successful people. Active people get lucky or they get blessed because it is their right. If you increase your action, the law is that you will increase production. You will get more if you give more. Why? Because God will not be mocked. The harder you work, the more blessed you will be, or the luckier you'll be, whatever word that you want to put in there. More successful you'll be. Because we need to remember that that blessing is not a resource. You know, we talk about, you hear scientists talk about, well, there's not enough water, there's not enough oil, there's not enough air, there's not enough sunlight, you know, all these things, resources. Blessing is not a resource. There's no limit to it, because there's no limit to God. There's no limit to your blessing. It's not like, whoop, you know, you hit your glass ceiling, you can't have anymore. That's not how God works. It said, pressed down, shaken together, running over, making room for more. Are you a camel? What is your problem? There's no limit to God. Success or your blessing can't be limited. Only I limit my success or my blessing. Only I limit it. Living a blessed life isn't a journey, it's a state of being. It's not for whiners, crybabies, or victims. There is no secret shortcut to success or living a blessed life. And the word says it clearly. We read it in Deuteronomy 28:13. If you listen to, And listening to, I take it as, you know, if you listen to or have faith in, grab hold of, believe these commandments of the Lord your God that I am giving you today, and if you carefully obey them or take action, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will always be on top and never at the bottom. You will always be blessed and successful. Give or act and you will receive. So my end point is why does God want you to be blessed and successful? We've kind of talked about it a couple of times already. Genesis 12:2. Let's go there. Genesis 12:2. There we go. Abraham. We've talked about him a couple of times already. The call of Abraham. I'm going to read verse 1 and then verse 2 is up there. The Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. So there's the vision or the goal or the dream. Go there, and I'm going to show you how to go there. And I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. That is why 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11 says, yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. He wants you blessed and successful so that you can be a blessing to others. He wants you blessed to be a blessing. He wants you blessed to be a blessing. If his church is not blessed, if we don't have anything to give, how can we help this earth? He wants us blessed to be a blessing. Another thing that Jesse Duplantis had said in his message was that he wasn't happy with just sowing seeds into people's lives. He wanted to start sowing whole orchards into people's lives. There's nothing impossible for God, and there's no limit to the blessing. There's no dream that's too big, no vision that's too big. That if he's put it in your heart, it's because he wants to see it fulfilled. He wants to see it happen. There's nothing impossible for God, no limit. There's no limit to him. If God has told you to do something or he's given you a dream or a vision, believe it and start acting on it. For example, those of you that are parents or have a niece or nephew or just know kids in general, you can relate. If you tell a child something, they will believe you. Young child, doesn't matter what it is, you know, you eat a watermelon seed, you're going to poop a watermelon out or whatever. Like, they believe you. You know, if we tell Sophia something, she believes us. Now, there becomes a certain age where they don't, but young kids, you know, if we tell her, like, there's been certain times where we want her to take a nap or something and she doesn't want to do it. And so you just kind of pull a promise out of your armpit and they're like, well, if you go to sleep, then we'll go to the park when you wake up. And you're thinking like, oh, God, she's going to forget. She's not going to remember. Oh, no. No, no, no. She goes to sleep and she wakes up and she'll come out wearing the weirdest outfit possible. Like, I'm ready. We're going to the park, right? And you're like, oh, crap. I didn't account for you remembering what I said. You know, but kids remember. She wakes up. She won't let us forget it. She will remind us of stuff that we told her weeks or months ago. Hey, Mom, yes, she will not be denied. She will not be denied. She remembers and believes, and she'll act on it. Like I said, if we told her that she's gonna go, that we're gonna go to the Cove next week or whatever, she's gonna start pulling out which swimsuit she's gonna wear. She's gonna be talking about the floaties that she needs to take. She starts acting on it. Whatever it would be, she's ready. Children believe. They're born believers. It's adults that have the problem. Well, that didn't work for me before. I'm not gonna try it again. I'll believe that when I see it. I mean, you don't know that person. That would never happen. Never. Oh, well, that's... maybe you should tone it down a little bit because you don't know our community. That's a little bit too big. You know, that's more like a big city type dream or, you know, take it down a notch. That's... the word never calls us God's adults. I think that missed some people. The word never, God never calls us in the word. He never says God's adults. What does he say? We are God's children. We are his children. Believe. Take him at his word. Start preparing. Start acting. Start doing. Start working towards that goal. It doesn't matter if he's told you you're going to go swimming in 2 weeks. Get your swimsuit out. Start getting your floaties together. Whatever you got to do. If God has told it to you, believe it. You are his child. It is not your place to question him. You just believe it. Take him at his word, because if he says it, he's going to do it. Haha. If you do what you've always done, you'll have what you've always had. To get what you dream of having, you have to do something that you've never done. So it's simple. If we want more, we have to give more. We know the story of the servants and the three talents, right? I mean, the talents and the three servants, and the master entrusted them, and to one, he gave a small amount, and the next was like a middle amount, and the third one was a larger amount. He went away, and what happened? When he came back, he asked them to give a report, right? So he called the first one, and he said, what did you do with the money that I gave you? He said, well, you know, I went and I worked hard, and I not only earned the money you gave me, but I doubled it. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and celebrate with me. The second one, same thing. It was a smaller amount, but he said, you know, I have whatever you gave me, I took it and I doubled it. He said, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come and celebrate with me. But which one was cursed? He gave money to the third one, but he didn't do anything with it. The word says that he hid it in the ground because he was afraid. If we hid our dream in the ground because we're afraid, or our goal in the ground because we're afraid, and then we wonder why we don't have more back, it's because we hid it in the ground. It's because we're not doing anything with it. You guys saw Mitch came up here and drank. He looked like a weirdo, but thank you so much for helping me. Which glass was the one that got more? The one that got used. These two glasses had the same amount as this one, but they never got more because they never needed more. Because they never put out more. If we put out what we have, God's going to supply, generously supply all of our needs. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, making room for more. The most dangerous thing that we can do is be complacent or just be happy with whatever we have. God is saying he wants to take you to the next level, to the next level. He wants you to go from glory to glory, not just to be happy or satisfied with a mediocre life, because he's not a mediocre God. He's a big God, and he's given you big dreams because he wants you to produce big action, big results. So if we want more, we have to put out. We have to start taking action. Successful people don't have a special ingredient that you have, that you don't have. You know, they're not some superhero. It's not like, you know, Superman or somebody that was born with this special power is like, well, they just have the ability to speak or whatever. And I don't have, they're just good with money. And I'm not, I mean, like, nobody has some special ingredient. Yeah, God kind of gives us all different talents and things towards certain things, but we're all made with the same stuff. Nobody has a different DNA molecule than you. We all have the same stuff. All they did was start acting on what God put in front of them, whether they know God or not. I mean, it's just their action produced result. What is Newton's law? For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And God's actions are a lot bigger than ours. His blessings are a lot bigger than ours. And if we never act, we never get results. No action, no reaction. So, simple. Simple but hard. It's a simple and hard thing to think about, and it requires us to step out of our comfort zone a little bit, because it's easy to be in this little, like, well, I'm happy here. I'm happy with what I have. I'm good. But God doesn't want you to just be a rock and sit. He wants you to roll. He said, go forth, arise and go forth on a new venture of faith. And I'll bless you and use you and keep you safe. You are a part of Faith Ministries Church. That is yours. That is yours too. Go forth and he's going to bless you. Start taking action and he's going to start blessing you. Do what he said for you to do. That goal that you have in your mind. I mean, whatever it is. Action produces reaction. Hallelujah. Well, I hope this helped some of you, any of you, you got something from this morning. God has just been dealing with me a lot about complacency. And, you know, having big dreams and talking big but never acting big. It's, you know, we know those, his bark is worse than his bite. And God wants us to be big and have a big bark and a big bite and big action, big results. He wants us to be strong. word says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and we will not be denied. We will not be denied. Whatever God has told you, take it. Take him at his word and grab onto it. Be like that widow, that persistent widow. Be like that guy who went is knocking on his friend's door in the middle of the night asking for bread, and persistent, persistent, persistent. Don't be denied. Start acting on it, because the word can't be denied. God can't go back on his word. Hallelujah. Let's just stand to our feet. And I'm going to open up this time for anybody that needs prayer for anything. Maybe you have a dream or a goal or a vision and you need some direction in that. Or you need healing in your body, or you need to give your heart over to the Lord, or whatever it would be. As I'm praying, I just invite you to come, and I want to pray with you. Because the word says that God will order our steps, that he will guide us. And the word also says that the Holy Spirit will remind us of what we need to say, when we need to say it. He'll put the words in our mouth. And so there's nothing that's ever too big for God, or something that he can't do or won't do. Healing is yours. Financial blessing is yours. God doesn't want his church or his babies, his children, in lack for anything. And in New King James Version, it says, all grace and all sufficiency shall abound. Abounding in all grace, all sufficiency. He is our all in all. All in all. Everything. Everything. Hallelujah. Lord, right now I just pray for divine direction, that you want us to have a purpose and a goal in life. And Lord, I just pray for an implantation of dream and vision. Clarity, dreams, focus, and vision, Lord, in the church, in our church, in the church body, that we would have a clear vision and focus of what you want us to do and what you want us to have. Lord, and I thank you that there is no limit to your success or the amount of blessing that you will give to us. And Lord, right now, I just pray against every spirit of poverty mentality or lack mentality, or welfare mentality, victim mentality. Lord, I just speak that we would take ownership of our actions, ownership of what we've done, Lord. Oh, shokorimashe kiririmati, koromoshe tiririkiririmatishi. You don't even have to come up here. If you're there, you can just start asking God to show you. God, what would you have me do? Put a dream in my heart. Put a goal in my mind, Lord. Because he wants you to have purpose, not just exist. He wants you to exist and be with power. Hallelujah.
Tomorrow I go, it's the first time.
Join with him on that, or did you?